Good morning, everybody. Okay. At the two dots in the Gimel of Beis, we finally get to my Maveh. Rav Amar Maveh Ze Adam, Shmuel Amar Maveh Ze Hashem, right? Rav says that Maveh Ze Adam, Shmuel says Shein. The mnemonic for remembering this is that Shmuel starts with Shein and Shein starts with Shein. And if Shmuel says Shein, then by possible elimination, Rav says Adam. Now, where do they get this from? Because the word Maveh really doesn't mean anything that's obvious to us. Rav Amar Maveh Ze Adam, the Tziv Amar Shomer Asa Boker V'gam Laila Im Tiv Ayun Be'ayu. Okay, we're not exactly sure what this pasuk means, right? The Shomer says morning came and also night. If you want to Ba'ayun, then Ba'ayu. Therefore, it's referring to an Adam. So what does this mean? So here we have Machlok seeing Rashi versus the Tosos Ravina Peretz. Tosos Rashi also says like Tosos Ravina Peretz. Rashi says it's referring to the Geula. The Shomer is Hashem. That's clearly the assumption of the Paitan in Hamad B'Kodesh Tachol, right? Amar Shomer Asar Boker V'gam Laila. Why is that in the Piyot? Because it's referring to the Geula. So he's completely followed. I don't remember who wrote it. I mean, I know his name. But he's following Rashi. So Rashi says, referring to Hashem, Amar Shomer, Asar Boker V'gam Laila, the morning of Geula came for the Jews in the end of days, and the night of punishment for the enemies of the Jews. Into Ba'ayun Ba'ayu, if you want to do tshuva and daven, Ba'ayu really is to seek, right? Ba'ayu is tzarech. But boy also means tefillah, right? So if you want to do tshuva daven for forgiveness and daven, then you should. So it's referring to the geula and davening. Davening to Hashem. Okay, and since only people daven to Hashem, and it's obviously talking about people. Therefore, mave means an adam. Okay, this is a bit of a stretch. Like, what does a pasuk about geula and davening have to do with arba oven tzikin? So you have to say that, according to Rashi Pshat, that there's some philosophical idea here. Obviously, this pasuk has nothing to do with tzikin. We just want to know what a mave is. So what this pasuk is saying is that the best way to express the idea of an adam is mave a davener. I know in Reb Pinkas' philosophical book about tefillah, Sha'arim b'tefillah, he's not the only one. He makes a big deal with this. Rashi says, we see from this Rashi that it must be the best way to describe a human being is mave idavner. Right? We know Unkla says that vahi adam nefesh chaya means ruach lamala, that human is different from animals because a human speaks. What type of speech is significant? I mean, all type of speech is significant in its context. But the ikker kind of speech that makes an adam is the speech of davening, and therefore what makes a human is that he prays to God. Okay, that is a significant philosophical chiddush, it resonates with us. We like that philosophical chiddush. And that's what you'd have to say according to Rashi, that what we learned from this pasuk is, now there are a lot of ways you can describe human beings, right? There are many pasukim in Tanakh about human beings. Venture say most pasukim in Tanakh are probably about human beings, and human beings do a lot of things. So why do we pick Davka, a random pasuk for human beings daven? The answer must be that there's a philosophical yesod that human beings do a million things. But the one of those million things that most encapsulates what it means to be a human being is to daven. Okay, for Rashi, there's a big philosophy here. Right, because the pasuk has nothing to do with anything. It just describes people, and so do a million other pasukim. So it must be philosophically, this is the essence of a human being. Okay, it's a lot to read into the Gemara, but it's a nice philosophical lesson that we learn.
Well, the Gemara is trying to figure out the Mishnah. The Mishnah might have just been using that versus Adam versus Ish versus
Ish. That just begs the question. So why did the Mishnah call Adam a Maveh?
Yeah, but half the time, does he call Adam a Maveh?
Okay, but why do we call him Maveh here? I understand. You give other reasons. The Tosfos Ben Peretz and the Tosfos Rush, though, give a different shot, which is maybe a little more, Rashi is more philosophically enlightening, but maybe a little more pashut shot. They say, no, this pasuk is talking about Adam HaMazik, which then makes sense why all of a sudden we say Maveh in the Mishnah, because it's not referring to Hashem. In the Geula, the Shomer is a guard in a context of warfare. And there are enemies who want to sack a city, or at least want to plunder a city. And he says, Asa Boker, the morning is coming, but Gam Laila, but it's still nighttime. Im tevayin ba'ayun, and there here ba'a means to seek out treasures to plunder. Right? So what is the shomer saying? It's almost the morning, but you still have another hour worth of nighttime, because you can't plunder in the daytime, everyone will see you. You can only plunder in the nighttime. So it's almost morning, the morning's coming, but you have an hour of night left, so if you want to go seek out things to steal and plunder, seek them out right now before it's too late. In which case, it's actually referring to Adam HaMazik, to a person who comes and steals and plunders someone else's property, which is a type of Adam HaMazik. Technically, it's an Adam HaGonev, but it's the type of Adam HaMazik, and therefore it makes sense. In the context of Adam HaMazik, we call Adam HaMaveh, meaning someone who seeks out things to steal. That is an example of an Adam being Mazik.
It's sort of strange. It sounds like the Shomer is in cahoots with the Ganav.
Yes. Here it's a little funny. In the Lashon of the Tosfos parents is that you get confused. At first you think it's the Shomer on the other side. But clearly the Shomer is in... There's something a little unclear about his Lashon. I had the same experience. Clearly he doesn't mean the Shomer who's protecting the ear from the Ganavim. He means the Shomer of the band of Ganavim. Which, obviously, even though his Lashon is misleading. Okay, so those are two ways to interpret this pasuk, and either way, Mava means Adam. Let's continue. Shmuel Amar Mava Zeh, Shein Dechsev Eich Nechpesu Esav Niv'u Matzpunav. How has Esav been searched out? Meaning, Esav's been plundered. Right? This is the nevuah of the downfall of Esav, and the enemies come and they find everything. How has Esav been plundered? Nivu matzpunav, all his hidden things, not matzpun in the modern Hebrew, of a conscience. Matzpun means things that are hidden away, like his hidden treasures that were put in safes and behind walls and etc. What?
Tzfunot,
right. The modern tzfunot. Nivu, they were sought out, like nivu is the same as the chapes, and plundered. My mashva, how do we know that has to do with Shane? What does that have to do with Shane? Can we talk about Yosef? Echten is belish Esav, is galin matmarohi. Like Rav Yosef taught the Targum of this pasuk in the Navi, that how has Esav been searched out, and all his hidden things have been revealed. So Niv'u means revealed, and revealed is a remez to Shane. The iskalin is a remez to Shane, just like we had earlier. Kasher yivair hagalal atumo, right? Galal was a remez to Shane, so iskalin is a remez to Shane, and certainly if we take the shot that galal is because Shane is sometimes revealed, sometimes not, right? It reveals its teeth when it's ready to eat. So here, iskalin means... is a remez to revealing the teeth when it is ready to eat. That's what Rashi says right here. Then the Gemara asks, "V'Rav my time alomer kishmul amar mikatani niver." Why doesn't Rav like Shmuel? Because then it should say niver, that which is revealed. When it says mave, that which reveals. So that's not a tooth. A tooth doesn't reveal. It is revealed. Shmuel atar lo amar karav or nochin katani boa. No, then it should have said boa, he who prays or he who seeks out. Not mave, he who causes something to pray or be sought out. Okay, mechti kroy, lo kamar daiki, given that the psukim are not maduric either way, meaning alpi grammar, neither of these the terribly good. Raya, a rabbi atar lo amar Shmuel. The answer is tana shor v'chol milusha. Rav doesn't like Shmuel because it already taught Shor. Shor includes everything about Shor. So what's left for Mavet must be an Adam. Ushmuel, Nami Hatan Lishur, Amr Yehuda. Okay, let's just take a little break here before we continue and mention a few Ha'aros. By the way, just a side point is the fascinating question of Tosfos here about Kamitargim of Yosef. It has nothing to do with our Sugya whatsoever. But why Dafka did Rav Yosef say the Targum? Right, I guess it would be Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel of the Paskin Ovadia. Why Rav Yosef said the Targum and not anyone else? So, Tosfos says, because they went to the biggest expert. Rav Yosef was the biggest expert in Targum. Okay, why? Someone has to be the biggest expert in Targum, or you can't ask why. Someone's the biggest expert in Targum, they found him, he was Rav Yosef. Okay, that was his field of expertise. Why? I don't know, that's a question in his biography. But he was the biggest expert in Targum. That's why they went to him. Because there are many different targumim, right? Don't think there was only one targum of the Chazal. There are many competing targumim. So he knew the most accurate, authoritative, you know, historically based targum. The locus mirish be'alma, not like, I think here be'alma means he means most people say in the world. Not like the other explanation. There's another explanation that Tosfos doesn't like. Who said that other explanation? Be'alma, the Velt says, right? Alma's literally Velt. Not like they say in the Velt. Okay, I'm not sure who the Velt is, but on the sheet, in the Tosfos, Talmud Bein Tam, he quotes from the Riva who said that pshat. Right? So at least the Riva holds like the Velt. The Riva and the Velt say, you know why they went to Rav Yosef? Because Rav Yosef was blind, and he wasn't allowed to learn Tanakh in Hebrew. Because Dvarim Shebechzav, Yatarash Elamar Valpeh, you're not allowed to say Dvarim Shebechzav Valpeh. Since he was blind, his only option was Valpeh. So he never learned Tanakh in Hebrew. Instead, he only learned it in the Targum in Aramaic. And that's why he knew the Targum better than everyone else, because he was blind. Not because he was an expert. Okay, so those are the two competing Pshat and Mar Rav Yosef. Either he was an expert or he was blind. It was usher for him to learn in the original Hebrew. Why does Tosfos not like the Pshat of the Riva in the Velt? Because we have a concept found in the Gemara in Shabbos, which says, Eis la sos Hashem efeir torsecha. Right? The Gemara says there that, the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Sanach, that Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish would write down Agatas, even though they were taking Dvarim Shebechsav, Dishabal Pet, and writing them Bechsav. And likewise, Shuls would have a book with only Daf Torahs in them, which are Dvarim Shebechsav, and they were saying them Alpeh. So if you read them out of a book that only has Haftorahs and not the entire Sefer, that's called reading them Alpeh. So why are you allowed to compromise? So the Gemara says, Eis Lasso L'Shem Efer Dor Secha. We all know that from what Rashi says. That's not in the Gemara. What compromise does Rashi say was done because of Eis Lasso L'Shem Efer Dor Secha? In Gittin? Let us write down the Mishnah in the Gemara, right? How can they write down the Mishnah in the Gemara? Dvarim Shebal Peh, you're not supposed to write down.
But they did address, so they only address.
I said Rashi, I didn't say the Gemara.
Oh.
That's what Rashi says. But that's what everyone knows. No one knows it's in the Gemara, they only know it's in Rashi. How do we write down Torah? By the way, now we've written down all Torah Shebal Peh. Why? Eis Lasso L'Shem Efer Dor Secha, because otherwise it would be forgotten, and we'd lose our Masorah. So in order to avoid losing our Masorah, we're allowed to write down the Torah Shebal Peh. And likewise, you're allowed to say Torah Shebechsav by heart. If, they didn't technically say it by heart. They said it from an improper, they read it from an improper sefer, which is the equivalent of reading it by heart, right? And as a matter of fact, there's some tshuvas, the Rabbaz has a tshuva, where there's a town where they didn't have any Haftorahs whatsoever. A guy just said it by heart. So, okay, if you have no choice, otherwise you wouldn't have Haftorah at all, then you can compromise. So likewise, Tosfos says, Pasha, the Rav Yosef was allowed to learn Tanakh in the original Hebrew because since he was blind and had no choice, he's allowed to compromise because the Eslas Tos Hashem if you're a Torah Secha.
Is the Arma saying why Rav Yosef is a Bucky, or the Arma saying that since he couldn't learn, he said it and therefore we just bring it in his name? It doesn't say that he's a Buck. I mean, the Arma.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so I just want to ask one very simple question. Why does the Velt reject Tosfos? Tosfos says, right, basically, Limud Tanach L'Rav Yosef. Says Tosfos, Mutter, because of Eis Lasso L'Shem. Says the Alma and the Riva, Aser, right? And that's why Targum Rav Yosef, because he went around saying Targum while everyone else went around saying Psukim. So, what about Eis Lasso L'Shem Efer Torah Secha? After all, going back to what Rashi says in Gittin, we all write down the Mishnah and the Gemara in the days of Tosfos. They all had written Mishnahs and Gemaras, and they didn't worry about the fact that Dvar Shebechsav couldn't be Alpeh, and Dvar Shebechsav couldn't be Bechsav, because of Eis Lasso L'Shem Efer Torah Secha. So why were they muttering this poor Rav Yosef and not letting him learn Tanakh? That's not so pashut because it's machlokas for Yehudin the Chachamim, whether a blind person is part of mitzvos or chayiv and mitzvos. And the mainstream psak is that he's chayiv, and Tosfos seems to assume that blind people are chayiv and mitzvos. Tosfos many places asks, even according to, it sounds like the Iker psak that blind people are chayiv and mitzvos.
For one person, Tanatar wouldn't be Hefer Torah Secha.
So I think that's what I found this actually in Shut Radvaz. If you want to know where it is in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's an obvious far, right? It's in a Shulchan Aruch in this pile of papers. Here we are. The Chelek Ches, which is not in the traditional sense of Shulchan Aruch. It was like printed later from a new manuscript, but it's in the Bar Ilan. Chelek Ches Siman Yod. In the Shulchan Aruch, which again, not in the Radvaz printed in Rashi script that we had when I was a kid, probably in the newer edition of Radvaz, and on the says Radvaz, that why is there no Eslas Hashem? So he says very poshut. Eslas Hashem fear Dar Secha doesn't mean b'shasad kach you can violate the difference between Dvarim Shu'asav and Dvarim Shu'alpeh. It means for the sake of the tzibur. Now even if it's not all of Klal Yisrael, even if it's one city of Klal Yisrael, for the tzibur you're allowed to say Dvarim Shu'alpeh. For the rabbim, the needs of the rabbim are eslas l'shem fear tor sefer. But the needs of the yachid, there's no eslas l'shem fear tor sefer. But the needs of the yachid, that is what how the Radvaz explains the velt that Rav Yosef had no heter because he was only yachid, and we don't compromise for the needs of a yachid, only for the needs of the tzibur. The Marashan Shabbos suggests a different shot. He just suggests if you look at Rav Yosef isn't getting, maybe Rav Yosef himself didn't hold of this heter of eslas l'shem. Only the other Amoraim did. So there are two explanations for why not Eis Lasos Lashem. The Marsha says because Rav Yosef Lo Sovar Kach, and the Ravav says because the Heter is only for the Rabin, not for the Yachid. Okay, so therefore we have two opinions as to whether Rav Yosef was allowed to learn Tanakh.
More than that, can't you say the whole reason Esau says, why can't you write down the Mishnah of Gemara so it shouldn't fill in Yishtachach in Israel? It shouldn't get forgotten. One person has nothing to do with it being forgotten.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Similar, but there's a difference.
Yes.
Also, Muchach that he didn't forget it. Meaning from the fact that he was Matargim, Muchach that he
still learned. Yeah, he missed out on the original Hebrew. That's got to be a big concern. You know?
As far as Oren said, in the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Ches, or Rav Safra, I think, was learning during Kriyas Torah. One of the shittas in the Rishonim of why, because he was blind, so he was prepared for Kriyas Torah.
Ah, okay, maybe I misunderstood what you're saying. He didn't mean because you're blind people are for mitzvos. It means that a blind person might be potter from the mitzvah of learning Torah Shabbosav. That would be much more reasonable. In which case, if he was potter, no, he's lasos, because he doesn't have to anyway. He's not potter for the mitzvah of learning Torah Shabbat Peh, or the mitzvah of, lighting Hanukkah candles, or, well, that's tricky, or the mitzvah of davening, or the mitzvah of benching, or the mitzvah of shaking a lulav. But he might be potter for the mitzvah of learning Torah Shabbat Chasav, because he's fundamentally mufka. Okay, if that's what Orr meant.
It's not really.
Okay, seder. But then I agree.
Maybe you'd say it a little differently. Instead of talking about the parameters of Eslas Hashem, you could say about the parameters of the Isser, not learning Torah, Shevik Sabal Pet. Maybe that only applies to someone who has Shaifas to learn Shevik Sabal. But a blind person who has no Shaifas whatsoever to learn it, like Mitochan Sab. So obviously, the prohibition never included him.
Yeah, that's the opposite direction of where we're going now.
Why?
That's why you're saying that it's much of him to learn Tanakh.
Because he would be... right.
You're going the wrong direction. It's a nice verse, just not
right,
what we're talking about now.
Right,
not nice verse, just not what we're talking about now. Right. Okay, Agav, the other... This Tosfos is quoted in a lot of the contemporary machlokos, so that how about nowadays, like, can we say any stuff we want, Baal Peh, etc.? There are many who are Mekel who say, really, like based on Tosfos and Tzmura, really they just meant you can't lane Baal Peh, but you can say Pesukim on your own Baal Peh, that was never usur. This Tosfos obviously assumes not that way. He assumes even saying Pesukim on your own Baal Peh is a problem. According to this Tosfos, it's not a problem every time people say Pesukim on their own nowadays Baal Peh. Let's say we're not blind, Baruch Hashem, then for sure it's a problem. According to both Deis and Tosfos, it's a problem when we say Pesukim Baal Peh. All right, it's happened nowadays that everyone says Pesukim Baal Peh. Either they shouldn't or they rely on Deis that are like neither Dei in this Tosfos. Like Tosfos and Tzmura. Okay, but now we're going to go back to Bava Kama. Right, because this was a bit of a tangent, not connected to Mizikin. So one question, which, it's not even such a yeshivish question, it's a Rishonim question, but always bothered me is, Mave, as the Gemara says, lo daiki lo kamar lo kamar. Mave is not a really great way of saying Shane, and not a great way of saying Adam. It's just a very confusing way to write the Mishnah. Why did Rabbi Yehuda Nasi write Mave according to either Pshat? Why didn't he just go into Shmuel? He should have just written Hashor Vabor Hashain Vahever. And Rabbi should have just said Hashor Vabor Ha'adam Vahever. Maybe according to Rabbi should have said Haregel Vabor Hashain Vahever. Why did he write this word Mave that caused so much confusion? So here, there are a number of interesting Pshatim. There are historical Pshatim, literary Pshatim, and maybe even Lumdish Pshatim. Some give historical pshatim as to why Rebbe used the lashon of Mave. What's a historical pshat why Rebbe used the lashon of Mave? Right, interesting. Gemara Tzchayas says that the Gemara says a little later on Dafavim days that it says Chav Hamazik or what's the lashon? Chav Hamazik l'sham d'shlumi nezek. The normal word shouldn't be Chav but should be Chayav. Why say Chav? And he says, this is a Tana Yerushalma who used a Lishna Klila. This is a Yerushalmi Tana who used an older, or he didn't say older, a lighter dialect. The Gemara already says that this Mishnah has words from like an older dialect of Hebrew than, or a different dialect of Hebrew rather, than we're used to. Says the Maratzchayas, it could be that there were some ancient Mishnayas. We all know that Mishnayas go way back. Rebbe was Masader, a standard set of Mishnayas. For everyone, right? From the days of Rebbe and on, everyone learned the same Mishnah. But until the days of Rebbe, everyone had their own Mishnah, right? The Gemara even says Avraham Avinu had his own Mishnah, and his Masechet Avodah Zarah had hundreds of prakim, because that was his main asek. But everyone had their own Mishnah, and there were these proto-Mishnayas, whatever you call them. Apparently, there were some very, very old formulations which became so traditional that, just like nowadays in modern Hebrew, we use some like old-fashioned Aramaic phrases in modern Hebrew just because like they stuck from a long time ago, even though they don't match the way modern Israelis speak. So, there is, says the Maritz Chayas, historical explanation, there was hundreds of years before Rebbe, everyone used the word Mave. It was a regular accepted usage of the word. We're not sure for what. Maybe whenever they talked about people, they said Mave. And maybe whenever they talked about Shem, they said Mave. It was a normal way of speaking. And that was an ancient Mishnah. Rebbe had a Masorah of this ancient Mishnah. It said Chav instead of Chayev, but he kept the ancient dialect. And it said Mave instead of something else. And he kept the ancient dialect. But when it was first written, it was very clear. That was everyone's jargon at the time. It's just, he kept the Mishnah from hundreds of years ago, so it became unclear because they stopped talking that jargon. But at the time, it was a very clear way of speaking. Oh, why didn't Rebbe update it to modern ways of speaking? Because, you know, he used his judgment that sometimes you want to preserve certain very, very famous ancient texts and not update everything.
Wouldn't we assume that the Tanaim understood what it means when we have the Machlokes in the Amorite?
Right, and the assumption would be, even though, again, Rav and Shmuel are shortly after Rebbe, right, but geographically distant, right? So the assumption would be that maybe, Rebbe probably knew what Mava meant. He knew that it wasn't clear to other people what Mava meant, but it was worth it for him to keep this ancient Mishnah, which is so much a part of the beloved Masorah, and he assumed that people would remember, pass on the Masorah what it meant, and that assumption proved to be false. Okay, so the Maritz Chayas gives a historical explanation. It was just a very ancient Mishnah from the time when people spoke that way. The Ravid gives a different historical explanation, which I'm not sure if it's as resonates as well with me. He says Rebbe actually had two versions of the Mishnah before him. One Mishnah said Shane and one said Adam. And he wasn't sure which version was right. And he wanted to include both sides, right? He didn't say if it's for diplomatic reasons or for academic reasons. He wanted to include both sides. Therefore, he came up with this weird word Mave, which is a weird, unclear word, which he knew was like a bad way of saying Shane and a bad way of saying Adam, but precisely 50-50 in between them. 50% likely to be a bad way of saying Shane, 50% likely to be a bad way of saying Adam, and he picked the word Mave in order to accommodate both parties to include both Masorahs in his Mishnah. So he purposely used a confusing word in the Mishnah to include two different Masorahs. Not Maritz Chayas. He just took what word that used to be clear 100 years ago. Okay, so those are some historical explanations. The
he took the whole Mishnah.
Yeah, I understand. The Rashbam gives a literary explanation. He's really trying to explain something else. Tosos and Rashi, even in the first Amud, say, why is the order Shor, Bor, Mave, and Hever? what order I would have written it. Do you know what I would have written it? Shor Maveh, Hever, and Bor. Because then I would go to the Lo Hareh. Lo Hareh Shor Kareh Maveh. Lo Hareh Shneim Kareh Ha'esh. Lo Hareh Shloshtem Kareh Ha'bor. Or maybe I would have, I don't know. Why Shor, Bor, Maveh, and Hever? So everyone gives explanations. You can see them inside. Rashi and Tosos and the other versions of Tosos, etc. What does Rashbam say? Why Shor, Bor, Maveh, and Hever?
Rhymes.
Poetic, because it rhymes. Lashon, Nofilo, Lashon, as he says, right? Zos, Yikari, Yishakim, Ishul, Kachazos, Lashon, Nofilo, Lashon. Rashbam said they wanted it to rhyme. Okay, this is a Chiddush to Rashbam, that they wrote things for the sake of rhyme, not only for the sake of content, of substance. And you could see the Rashbam was nervous about this Chiddush, which is why he had to bring rise from Psukim. He says, no, there are also Psukim Yechezkel, which changed the words to make it rhyme more. Even at the expense of losing out on the accuracy of the meaning. And especially Torah Shabbat Pat makes even more sense than Torah Shabbat Sad, right? So the Shabbat says to rhyme, therefore Shor has to be next to Bor, because Shor and Bor rhyme. And Mava has to be next to Hever, because Mava and Hever rhyme. Oh, okay. Sure. I know Rabbi Elazar Kalir would not accept Mava and Hever rhyming, but but Hallmark would. And in the days of the Mishnah, rhyming was, the standards of rhyming in the days of the Mishnah were more flexible than the
standard. For memorization.
Yeah, and it's good for memorization, and that explains not just why Shor and Bor are next to each other, Mav and Hever are next to each other, explains two other things. Why Hever? After all, in the Seif of the Mishnah, the same exact thing is called Esh. Kare Ha'esh. Why call it Hever and then Eish? The answer is later in the Mishnah they call it Eish because they're not rhyming. In the same ratio of the Mishnah they call it Hever because they want it to rhyme. And it also explains why Maveh. Why Maveh? It's a very bad way of saying Shane or a very bad way of saying Adam. The answer is they want it to rhyme with Hever. Okay, you can have your own personal hashkafa on how important rhyming is versus how important clarity is. And it seems like everyone but the Rashbam did not agree with this there. But the Rashbam thought that rhyming was a good justification for the Mishnah, and therefore it's obvious why they said Hever to make it rhyme. The Teske.
Why wouldn't it change Mavet in the Seifa then also? It just doesn't change Hever.
I don't know, it's a good question. Not sure. Some of the Rishonim understand that there's more of a Remez included here. So the Ravina Yonah and the Nemuka Yosef both see it as no. They use Mava specifically to be Rames to something. The only difference is Rabbeinu Yonah use it as a Remez to the Mokor in Tanakh, in the Chumash, and Mikha Yosef actually uses it as a Remez to Halacha L'maisa. What does the Rabbeinu Yonah say? He says each Shita has their own explanation as to what the Remez of Mava is. If Mava is Adam, then he's obviously assuming like Tosfos parents. Not like Rashi, it's referring to people who plunder. Mav is Adam, what kind of Adam? An Adam who steals. Why would Davka use Maveh to hint to an Adam who steals? Because the first Adam HaMazik in the Torah is, what's the first Adam HaMazik in the Torah? Is a Ganav, right? In Parshas Mishpatim. Ki yiginov ish shor oseut vocho mecharoch hamishav akarish loim tachza, etc., etc. Right? So the first Adam HaMazik in the Chumash is a thief, and therefore we use Maveh to be Merame, is that where is Adam HaMazik in the Chumash? It's first a thief. That's why we call him a Maveh. A Maveh means someone who seeks out things to steal. Who burgles, if that's a word. And why do we use Maveh for Shane according to Shmuel? Because Maveh is a remez to Eich Nivu. Which the Targum is Iskalin Matmarohi. Iskalin is a remez to Kasher Yivar HaGolol. How do we know the Pasuk in Mishpatim means Shein? Ki Yavar Ish, how do we know it means Shein? Because it says Kasher Yivar HaGolol. Right? So it's a remez to the Makar of Shein in the Torah. The Makar of Shein in the Torah is Ki Yavar Ish, which means Shein because of Golol. So he uses Maveh, which is translated as Iskalin, as a remez to the Makar of Yivar HaGolol in the Chumash. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, Rabbeinu Yonah, according to Tosfos Rashi Zivug Betza, says they use this strange way of saying Adam, or the strange way of saying Shein, as a remez to where to find it in the Chumash. Either remez to Ki Yigov Ish, or remez to Kasher Yavar HaGolov, which goes back to Ki Yavir Ish. The Nemuka Yosef is the only one who learns halachic nafkaminas. He says, no, it's not just a remez, the word is in the Chumash. Why do you need to make a remez, the word is in the Chumash? Well, actually, you'll figure out where it is in the Chumash. Why do the Mishnah doesn't need to make a remez, the word is in the Chumash? But the Mishnah does need to make a remez to halacha lemaisa. How does the Mishnah make a remez to halacha lemaisa? Both for Adam and for Shane. According to Rav, it means Adam. So what's the remez? You might have thought you're chayav for any Adam, even Eved Ama, even an Eved. Kamash, which we know you're not because the Mishnah Yadayim, but right, we might have thought. Kamashulan Madeh, he obviously interprets the pasuk like Rashi, not like Tosfos and Peretz. In Devayin Boy, he was talking about the Jews who were davening for the Geula. Rashi's not exactly who he was davening. But it's referring to the Jews, to Bnei Chorin. Bnei Chorin are the ones who are davening to Hashem in the pasuk. So therefore, the Rem is that you're only chayav for what you as a Ben Chorin do, you're not chayav for what your Eved does. And therefore, it's actually teaching us halacha lemaisa. For Shmuel, he also sees it as teaching halacha lemaisa. Shane is iskelin matmorogi. Mav is iskelin matmorogi. He teaches something that is sometimes revealed and sometimes covered. And here, okay, you have to dayak here. The Gemara to have me in a beis and a beis that biting is shane, right? The Gemara says no, biting is not shane because it's not hanah lezeka. It's done for kavana of damage, not for kavana of hanah. So, how do we know that from the Mishnah? Rebbe's and Rambam's in the Mishnah. When an animal bites, it sticks its teeth out. I hope that's true. I need to check with animals. I just know what it says in the video. Anyone own an ox? No? Okay. Have a seder. And the video carries the day. He probably saw a lot more oxen than we did. I'll tell you that much. What does he say here? He says, Mave is Shane. He says, "Shapamim nigos pamim nechseis vayinim b'shas achila." Okay, he doesn't explain it so much. The Achronim do. He says, "When an animal eats, it chews and it bites and chews, and it sometimes reveals its teeth while it's eating, and sometimes doesn't. Therefore, that's something that's sometimes revealed and sometimes not, and that is a remez to eating, as opposed to when an animal bites in order to hurt someone, it doesn't." That's what he says. The hanasasha pamim niglis pamim nechlis behind the b'shas achila. When it bites, then it doesn't sometimes reveal its teeth and sometimes cover its teeth. I think the Pei Moshe or someone understood him saying when it bites, it just bears its teeth and bites and then finishes biting. So it's a remez that only its shein is only for hanasa and not for neshicha. The kavanas has it. Okay, so five shatim, they've shown him why they use such a backwards, confusing, difficult, poor choice of language, seemingly, of mave, just a chazer. Maritz Chaya says it was actually a very accurate, clear way of speaking hundreds of years ago, and then they preserved an ancient Mishnah. The Ravid says Rebbe purposely used an ambiguous, unclear word, because he wanted to accommodate two different Masorahs at the same time. The Rambam says he wanted to rhyme with hever. The Rebbe Niona says, each shita says it's a remez to the pasuk which you learned this avnezek from, either remez to the first time Adam Mazik in the Chumash, or remez to how we see Shane in the Chumash. And the Mekiyot says to teach us halachas, Shane to teach us that it only means eating and not biting for damage, because when you eat, it's sometimes revealed, sometimes not, and you call it isgalin. And Adam to teach you only Ben Chorin, not an Eved. Okay, those are the five pshatim. Let's read on in the Gemara then. We were up to... Shmuel Nami Hatani Lishor. Doesn't Shmuel also know it says Shor in the Reisha? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Tana Shor Lekarno Mave Lishino. Shor in the Reisha means Keren, and Mave in the third thing means Shane. Bahachi Kamer, and this is what they mean. Loria Keren Shane and Allah Zeka Kriya Shane Shane and Allah Zeka. Loria Shane Shane Kavanos Lahazek Kriya Keren She Kavanos Lahazek. So what does the Lori E mean then? Right, everyone's gonna have to explain Lori E. So, Shmuel, according to Rav Yehuda, who's going to be rejected in the end, says, it's comparing Keren to Shane. We couldn't have learned Keren from Shane. We couldn't have learned Shane from Keren. Why not? Because each one has a Chumrah, the other one doesn't. What is the Chumrah of Keren? The Chumrah of Keren is Ein Hanah LeZeiko. What is the Chumrah of Shane? The Chumrah of Shane is Ein Kavanasa LeHazek. Then, so let's just... The Havamina, Chumrah de Keren, Chumrah de Shane. And the Hav Mina is, the Chumer Keteren is, what's the lesson again? Ein Hana'a Lehezeka. And the Chumra of Shein is, Ein Kavanaso Lehazik. Then the Gemara says, V'lav Kavachomer Hu. What do you mean that's a chumrah? That's not a chumrah, that's a kula. Shame, but there's not even part of lahazik is chayiv. So Karen says, Kavanas lahazik, she calls shame be chayiv. No, you might really think that Ein Kavanas lahazik is a chumrah, and Kavanas lahazik is a kula, like Evid Ra'ama. Evid Ra'ama lav avgav the Kavanas lahazik yiloch turi. Evid Ra'ama, if it's Kavanas lahazik, it's potter, hachanami lo shna. So you see that Evid Ra'ama have more kavanah than animals. See, Kavanas lahazik is a kula, so Ein Kavanas lahazik is a chumrah. No, Amar Vashi, also Evid Ra'ama tam rabbi. Isn't there a special reason by Evid Ra'ama that doesn't apply to animals? Shem yak defendu rabbi, v'yela fiyad le kadish shahavir, and incident of chayiv rabbi, mea manu b'chol yom. That what are we afraid in Evid Ra'ama? Maybe his master will annoy him, so he'll go and purposely light someone else's field on fire, and be mechayev his master 10,000 dinar every day. Meaning he might have a purposeful plot to get revenge on his master by damaging third parties and making his master pay. That is a special reason; only applies to people who are that smart. Animals are not that smart, so therefore it's not relevant to us. Ella parachachi. Rather, we have to change our mind. Lo ria keren shekavanas lahazik. Ria shein shein kavanas lahazik. Lo ria shein shein shanal zeka. Ria keren shein kavanas hana lehezeka. So, what is the maskana? Maskana is no chumra of keren is kavanas lahazik. That makes a lot of sense. It's more chumra because it's done on purpose to be mazik. The chumra of shein is yesh hana lehezeka. That also. That also makes a lot of sense. We had two pshat, and remember, we had a chakirat shein. Is it because since you benefit, therefore you're more responsible? Or is it because since it's something which you could have anticipated and predicted, because the animal wants to eat, you should have predicted and you're more negligent? Okay, the maskana makes sense, as it should. The question is, what's the havamina? What's the havamina that ein hanal lezeka is a chumra, and Ein Kavanas Lahazik is a Chumra when it seems to be the other way around. That Hanazik should be a Chumra, Ein Hanazik should be a Kula. Kavanas Lahazik should be a Chumra, Ein Kavanas Lahazik should be a Kula. What is the Havamina? So, here we have a Machlokes Rishonim. The Ravid, you have to read the Ravid carefully a little. What do you think the Ravid is saying to try explaining this Havamina? What's the Ravid saying? What's the Svar of the Havamina? What's the Ravid saying? Anyone? Have Pshan and what they thought the Ravid was saying here? Okay, I'll tell you what I thought the Ravid was saying, and you can tell me if you disagree. The Ravid was basically trying to say the Havina was just saying the Maskana in the wrong order. What does he mean? Saying the Chor of Keren is that. Do I have a Ravid here? Hold on, maybe I do. The Ravid was saying, I should really print this out. Yeah, I keep saying that, right? says, let Lori Yashen Shein Kavanos Lahazik. The boy le lasuke daiti de ochlu mafsit. You should have thought that it would eat. Lori Yakaren Shein Hanoa lehezeka. Avichinshu mazik v'lo nene dinu sheichayev. Says miskaven lahazik. What's the Ravid trying to say? The Ravid is trying to say, if I understand the Ravid correctly, is that the chumra of keren is that it's not doing it for anoa. If it's not doing it for anoa, why is it doing it? It's doing it for hezek. So really, just saying kavanaso lahazik. That's a chumra kavanaso lahazik. It's just saying kavanaso lahazik in a very strange way. What's the chumra of Shein? Ah, it's not kavan lahazik. Well, if kavan is not lahazik, then why is it doing it? Must be doing it for tana. Ah, hana lezeka. Basically, the Ravid is reading the Havamina as just the same as Maskana, but expressing itself very poorly and indirectly. That's the Havmina is, well, Karen is more chomer because it doesn't have a nos, so it's trying to be mazik. That's very chomer. And shame is more chomer because it's not trying to be mazik, so it's doing it for tzanah, so that's more chomer. So, and then the Gemara attacks and says, no, what do you mean? Like, that's the wrong way of saying it. That's a backwards way of saying it. Like, then you shouldn't have said that the chumra is that in kamanos lahazik. That's not true. The chumra is that yishana lazeka. It's a kula being kamanos lahazik. So for the Ravid, if I understand the Ravid correctly, the havmina is substantively the same as the maskana. It's just saying it wrong. Okay, in which case, what's the difference between the havmina and the maskana? The havmina was like just a confusing way of saying what you're trying to say, and the maskana you say it clearly. Tosfos, though, and I think Tosfos is unique, at least for both sides of the havmina, says, no, it's really a svara to the havmina. What's really the svara to the havmina? Why is Ein Hanah LaZeka really a Chumrah? And Hanah LaZeka is a Kula. What's Tosfos say?
Should be Kal HaYochel Shumrah.
Exactly. Tosfos says, since there's no Hanah, it's easy to control. Since there's no Hanah, it's easy to control. But in the case of Hanah, it's too hard to control the animal. And therefore, it's not really your fault. Right? It's easy to control. So you are a posheya. That's why it's more chomer. Karen is more chomer in the Havmina because ain Hanah lezeka. Karen, come on, the animal isn't hungry. If the animal's not hungry, you should have controlled your animal. What do you mean? It's how hard is it to control your animal? Just get your animal to behave. It's not even hungry. Like, why can't you get your animal to behave? If your animal's damaged, then you must be very negligent. As opposed to if your animal's hungry, that wouldn't be so chomer, because what are you supposed to do? How do you keep a hungry animal from eating? You know, that's too hard to do. It's not your fault. And likewise, over here on Nalazika, Inkama Nalazik, since the animal wasn't angry. Here I'm maybe adding a little emotion to Tosos, that's why. Since the animal wasn't angry, therefore it's easy to control. So you are a posheya. But in a case of anger, then it's too hard to control the animal. And therefore, it's Kal, you're not really such a Hoshea. Tosfos actually gives a good Hesber to the Havamina. And it's a good Hesber to the Havamina. And of course, we're just Tosfos inspired to get his idea. That, you know, maybe it's too hard to control if the animal is really trying to accomplish something. Where does he get that idea from? Sure. That there's a Ptor,
what?
Or I was thinking more Evan Va'ama, right? Your slave. If he's trying to get revenge with this plot, it's impossible to control him because he has a plot. Likewise, animals don't have plots, but they have emotions. If they're hungry, it's too hard to control. If they're angry, it's too hard to control, and that's what we're saying. We're saying, Karen is more chomer because it's not hungry. Therefore, it should have been easy to control, so why didn't you control it? Shame is more chomer because it wasn't angry. If it wasn't angry, it should have been easy to control. Okay. These are two ways of reading the Havamina. In the Rimigash, he quoted his, I forget who the other fellow's name was. Who had a different way of reading half the Havamina, right? He says the Havamina of income and usal hazik. The Havamina of Ein Hanah LaZeka being a chumra and Hanah LaZeka being a kula is logical, even though the other half isn't. We already discussed that. We will leave that for now. Now, here's what's interesting. Here's just what I want to focus on. Let's hold the cup for just a moment. I'm trying to think if I should even write this out at greater length. You know what? I'm going to apologize. Don't worry. I'm going to write it out longer. Here is the Havamina in the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Right, what's the Havamina? that, what does it mean? Lo harei, what's the first line? Hashor kari hamaveh, right? Lo harei hashor kari hamaveh. And lo harei hamaveh kaharei hashor. What does this mean? So far, this is the Gemara. Says the Gemara that Karen is more chomer, right? Karen is chomer, and Shane is kal, because ein hana lezeka, as opposed to Shane, which has hana. And Lori Rav Kashur says, "Ahavmi that Shane would be chomer. So if you only knew Karen, you wouldn't have learned Shane because it's more chomer. If you only learned Shane, you wouldn't have learned chomer. You wouldn't have learned Karen. Why? Because Shane is Ein Kavanaso Lahazik. I'll write all that. As opposed to Karen, which is Kavanaso Lahazik. What is the Havmina? After all, this seems backwards. In Maskana, it is backwards. So he saw two pshatim in the Havmina. One was the Ravid. I admit the Ravid's. It's not 100% clear. This is what I'm fairly confident the Ravid's saying. He's saying the Sfar of Karen being Chomer is because Kavanasa Lahazik. Ein Hana Lezeka was just a bad way of hinting that Kavanah is to be Mazik. And that's why it's more Chomer. And Ein Kavanasa Lahazik. And Ein Kavanasa Lahazik saying it's not Kavanasa Lahazik, Ella, he just put an Ella. Ein Kavanasa this, Ella that. Yesh Hana Lezeka. Okay, that's the Ravid. What's the Maskana according to the Ravid? Let's see the Fiza of the Maskana. The Maskana, we know what the Maskana is, right? What is the Maskana? Maskana's in the Gemara. The Maskana is that Karen is more Chomer because Kavanasa Lahazik. And as opposed to Ein Kavanasa Lahazik, and Shein is more Chomer because Yesh Hana Lezeka, as opposed to Karen, which is Ein Hana Lezeka. Basically, for the Ravid, the Havmin is not so different than the Maskana. Just the Havmin has said it backwards, so they said that doesn't make sense. You're saying it backwards. And, like, why are you focusing on the wrong thing? So they thought maybe if an Amma would justify it, it wouldn't. And then they said, let's say it forwards. There's no real difference in the Havmina Maskana according to the Ravid. That's what I'm claiming. What's the difference? Right? For the Ravid, what's the difference? Is just clarity. Is just the clarity of formulation. Do you speak clearly or not? The Havmina meant what they were going to say in the Maskana anyway. They weren't competing svaras. Just at first they said it backwards. Said, what do you mean? That's ridiculous. You think that Ein Kavanasa Lahazik is a chumrah? No, adrabah. Adrabah. Ein Kavanasa Lahazik is a kula. Say, oh, they went to Eved Amma, that didn't work. They said, yeah, you're right. What we really meant was Yeshana Lazeka. That's the right word. Let's go to Tosos. Says Tosos, Ein Hana Lezeka. Ein Hana Lezeka, and therefore, why is it so chomer? Because it's easy to control because there's no hunger. As opposed to a case of Shane, which is it's hard to control hunger. You ever try to control a hungry animal?
No.
It's very, very hard to control a hungry animal. I don't mean hungry necessarily starving, you know, like the Niels lions. I mean, the animal feels hungry now. It's attracted to eat something. It's very hard to control the taiva of achila, as we know, right, from last week's parsha. It's a very strong taiva, right? So it's very, so therefore, Tos says that taka makes sense. Karen is more chomer because it's easy to control, so you're more negligent, and therefore it's easy to control equals more pshia, as opposed to less pshia. Couldn't have learned shame, that's less pshia, because it's hard to control hunger. And what else did we learn from last parsha? It's very hard to control the yitzhahara of eating. But then in the next parak, very hard to control the yitzhahara of being angry at someone. What does it aim kamanas lahazik? It means that it's easy to control shame because there's no anger. It's not mad at anyone. And if it's easy to control, that means there's more pshia. As opposed to, it's hard to control Karen because there's anger. You try restraining a hungry animal. Try restraining an enraged bull. Right? You have to be a Spanish professional kind of guy to do so. And even they get killed sometimes. And therefore, this is less pshia. Okay. Tosos, what's fascinating about Tosos is that he actually convinced us here. This is actually a good svara, yeah. Like, the less taiva, either taivas achila or taivas, hezek, the animal has, the easier it is to control it, and therefore the more at fault you are for not controlling your animal. If it had a big taiva, then you're not so at fault, because what are you supposed to do? There are animals in the world, everyone needs animals in the world, and go control them when they have a taiva that you can't rule over. The interesting question just becomes...
The problem is, then, how can you take in Shusha Rabim? How can you go? Then you...
But you have to bring in Shusha Rabim.
No, why does that give you a tour? Just because it's difficult.
Why should I be chayiv? Look, things happen in the world. Why should I be chayiv? It's a question. Okay.
Yeah.
Now what's the maskana? The maskana is, of course, that kavanasul mahazik. Okay. I think I could have done this board better if I started differently, but not start differently again. Kavanasul mahazik versus ain kavanasul mahazik. Kavanasul mahazik is a chumrah. Yesh hanal lezeka is a chumra versus ain hanal lezeka. What changed in the maskana? Now, what changed in the maskana? In the havamina, how do I really want to write this board? In the havamina, Kavanasul Hazik was a kula. It's so angry that it's hard for me to control it. Why in the maskana is Kavanasul Hazik a chumra? Why in the maskana is Hana Lezeka a chumra? What changed in the Havamina and maskana? For the right, I'm claiming nothing really changed. We just, we just got our bearings. What changed in the Havamina and the maskana according to Tosos? After all, it was a good svara. So what changed? Why do we reject that svara? Why don't we like that svara anymore? What changed? That's the question I want to ask. What changed? Everything's backwards from the Havamina and the maskana. What changed that turned our svaras backwards?
The maskana of the Mishnah doesn't think that way.
What?
The maskana of our Mishnah thinks like the maskana.
Of course. But the Havamina sounds good. Tosas made a good Havamina.
But it wouldn't fit the other Lori.
I know, but why not? You're begging the question. But why isn't the Havamina good? Tosas made such a good Havamina, it's not true. I know it's not true. Why isn't it true?
Even in the Mishnah we should say
yes. I'm more connected to Hanala if it's Kavanas Lahazik. My axe got angry at Kavanas Mazik. That makes me more connected. Why am I more connected if my axe is... You don't mean connected, then.
I mean that the animal's action was more deliberate, and therefore...
The action was more of a Hezek action.
Yeah.
Aha. So in the Havamina says, Chesky, we're looking not at the action, how bad the action was, but how negligent the owner was. And in the Maskana, we stop looking at how negligent the owner is, and we start looking at how bad the action is. Okay, so we changed our orientation. What was your second way?
The same orientation, but we say that even though it's hard to stop, on the other hand, it's also easier to stop because it's more expected and predictable. For an animal to do something without the reason that the other one has, here I see that it wants to eat.
So you mean, hold on a second. What you mean is there's more pshi if it's kavanas lahazik. Why is there more pshi if it's kavanas lahazik?
Because you can prevent it.
How do I prevent it from being mazik?
It's harder to physically restrain it, but it's more obvious that it's going to that.
Okay, good. So Chesky has two ways of understanding. Now, the truth is, technically, you could have had a third way, which is like half the first way, half the second way, for the two sides of the board. But we'll leave that for now, which I think is going to be important for totally different so, but we'll leave for now. And I hinted at it previously. Chesky has two ways of explaining what changed, right? Chesky 1 and Chesky 2. We'll start with Chesky 2. Chesky 2 says, how do you spell Chesky? Chesky 1 says, what changed is our judgment about our practical judgment about negligence, right? Is that your second way? Sorry?
Yeah.
Practical judgment about pshia. We changed our evaluation of psychology and sociology and whatever other ologies have to do with pshia, right? And what do we say? We say in the end that kavanas lahazik, that's more pshia because... Why is it more pshia if it's kavanas lahazik? Because you should have calmed your animal, or you should have kept track of angry animals.
It's hard to stop an animal, which is expected to. It's expected it might do this, so you have to prevent against it.
Because you should.
Either you witnessed it actually trying to attack, you should stop it. That's a little bit dopey, because then you have to say you're actually witnessing it. But you say in general, you have to know that your animal might attack out of viciousness, your animal might attack out of desire for pleasure.
You should. Anticipate and prevent attacks. Right? As opposed to inkavanos lahazik is less pshia because, you're going to get stuck here. Less pshia because you didn't know that it might attack, so you didn't know how to anticipate it.
Meaning it's random.
Okay, less pshia because it's random. Okay, I'm not going to love this. But we're going to... Chesky 2, that's okay, I like Chesky 1. And over here, Yeshan al-Azeka, you're going to say this is more pshia because you should anticipate that animals want to eat, right? Right? As opposed to here, which is less pshia, because it's random when an ox will get mad and attack. Okay, this I accept a little better. Yeah, I should have anticipated that it might eat, so kept an eye out for food that it might eat, etc., or places that it goes where it might eat. Supposed to, I don't know when it's going to get angry. Your first that one is a little more duck. I should have anticipated it might get angry and known ways to keep it calm and known the things that make it angry, as opposed to eating, which is random. Who knows when it's going to want to eat something?
Right, like bulls with the red
thing. Okay, I mean, it's probably always going to want to eat something, no? Isn't that what animals do? They always eat when there's food available? All right, whatever. Anyway, okay, so what Chesky's saying is basically we just changed our mind about negligence. First we thought we should judge negligence by how hard it was to, like, pull on the leash. And the answer is, well, if ein hanalezeka, that's easy to control. You can pull on the leash. Hanalezeka is hard to control. Ein kavanas lahazik is easy to pull on the leash. Kavanas lahazik hard to pull on the leash. Then we say, no, it's not a matter of pulling on the leash. Let's take it one step earlier. It's whether you should have dealt with this situation before it even came up. How you should have proactively dealt with it. And the answer is, ein hanalezeka, that is, sorry, the maskana is kavanas lahazik. That's pshia. You should have known when it would want to be mazik and prevented it. As opposed to ein kavanas lahazik, you didn't know. Ein hanalezeka, you should have known when it wanted to eat and what it liked to eat and prevented it. As opposed to... Ain't on all his acre, which is random. Okay. That's Chesky 1. But Chesky 2, I think, is saying a little more like the Mahari quoted in the Mahari Katz. What does the Mahari Katz here say? And I think this is definitely the most lumdish yesod in this sugya. Says right here in the Shita Mekubet says, let me just find Mahari Karin Tzedek Pirush, etc. The Lav Kavachomer Mash, and basically the first day in the Mahari Katz is like Chizki saying, what's the, why are we disagreeing? And that's exactly, here is Chizki 2. This is, why do you see this? First, first equals the Mahari Katz. What does Mahari Katz says? You know what, we changed our mind? You thought that in kavanos lahazik was a chumrah because it's hard to restrain. No, kavanos lahazik is a chumrah because you should have anticipated it. It's exactly what Mahari Katz says. I'll read it again. In kavanos lahazik will have a lesukei adaiti. In kavanos lahazik, you shouldn't. You didn't know to anticipate. It's random, as opposed to kavanos lahazik will call shkei. It's much more chumrah. Mahari Peirush. They didn't quote the Mahari. Not sure who the Mahari Katz is and who the Mahari is. First, yes, the Mahari Katz talking, and then he's quoting the Mahari. Obviously, not the Mahari Katz. Right? Chizki 1 equals Mahari says it's a big change in lumdish orientation. Says, so I just lost the place. Give me a second. Says the Mahari, Mahari Peirush, the high dekomer lav kavachomer v'kulu lo koyakulu v'chomer deshein v'karen abaylam. Now we're changing our mind. We're not going on the Bailam anymore. Ela abehema. Now we're changing from the Bailam to the Behema. B'shaper parcha. Now it's good pircha. What changed from the Havmina Maskana? Technically, he's asking what changed from the Havmina to the attack on the Havmina. So the attack on the Havmina is the same as Maskana. What changed? Looking at the Bailam or looking at the Behema. What do we mean by this? This is, because his first shot, at first, what changed? What changed is, look at Bailam, changed to look at the Behema. Meaning, Enechanami, Mitzad Pshias HaBailam, the Havmina was right. But in the Maskana, we're not looking at Pshias HaBailam. We're looking at Mitzad the Behema. Mitzad HaBehema, HaMaisa Yoser Chamura. Mitzad the Behema, I don't care how niggling you were. Mitzad the Behema, if your Kavanah is Lahazik, that's a more Chamur Maisa. As opposed to Hema, Hamaisa, Eina Hamura, Kolkach. Right? Because Kavanos Lahazik is more Chamur Mitzad the Behema. And what happens over here? The same thing. Mitzad HaBehema, Hamaisa, Yoser Chamura. Why is it Yoser Chamura? It's not about anticipating the Bailam. It's about the objective action the animal did. Because it didn't just damage, it actually took for itself someone else's property while damaging. That's more chomer than just stand damaging as an accident. As opposed to here, Mitzad HaBehema HaMaisa Eina Chamura Kolkach. That is, so for the Mahari Katz, for the Mahari, we don't just change how we judge negligence. We judge negligence by negligence after the fact, or b'shas ma'isa, or negligence before b'shas ma'isa. Rosh Katan versus Rosh Gadol. The Havim is Rosh Katan. Rosh Katan is Israeli for like not thinking in the big picture. Havim is Rosh Katan. How hard is it to restrain the leash? Who's more negligent? Maskan is no Rosh Gadol. Why are you up to restraining the leash? How do you get into the situation in the first place? And then the opposite is more negligent. No, the Havmin is how negligent is the Bailam. The Maskana is how bad is the objective mycinesic of the animal. And then for sure, Mitzad the Bailam, if the animal has a big taiva, he's not so negligent. If the animal doesn't have a big taiva, he's more negligent. Mitzad the animal, no, if the animal's trying to be mazik, that's more chomer. If it's not trying to be mazik, it's less chomer. If the animal's being nana, taking someone else's property for itself, that's more chamra, as opposed to just accidents happen, which is Which is, give me a second, not so chomer. And maybe, according to Marikatz, what we're really changing here is the chakira we started the year with. Remember, we started the year with chakira. Why am I chayer for what my animals do?
Yes.
Is it because I'm chayer for my shear, for my lack of shmira? Or no, the objective action done by the animal is a maisa hezek that's machayev me, because my animal is like me, and the maisa hezek was done. So that chakira, according to the Mari, is really just the Havim Maskana of the Gemara, Daf Gimel and Beis, Avdalam and Aleph. Behavim, we thought the Machayev was my Pshia. So which is more Chomer, which has more Pshia? The Maskana, we said, don't look at the Bayan, look at the Behemah. The Maskana, no, it's not because of my Pshia and my Shmira. It's because of the objective Maisa Hezek done by the Behemah. Right? Because the Behemah does a Maisa Hezek, I'm Chayev. Because it's my Behemah. And therefore, the objective Maisa Hezek is more Chomer if it's Hana, or more Chomer if it's Hezek.
How can you even think that the behemah has any das kelo that he's taking something else? If you're looking at the behemah, you look at the behemah, it's totally natural for the behemah to eat. How can you say that, ever say that that's a chumrah on a behemah? You could say that with the carrot of corn, that's a chumrah on a behemah.
Okay, I'm not necessarily saying a moral chumrah on the behemah. You're right. Mitzad moral judgment of the behemah, right? There are, if you're going to make moral judgment on behemahs, like the Ramban suggests in Parshas Noach, means you can make moral judgments on behemoths. Then you're right. It's hard to say that it's a moral judgment l'chumra. Kavanos l'hazik is morally more chumra. Hard to say hanalazik is morally more chumra. But if you're not looking at it, I don't mean as a moral chumra. I mean as to what extent this action is considered a criminal action as opposed to an accident. So therefore, if the animal is netted by taking your property for itself, then we say, ah, this animal really took from you. I don't mean it's a bad person, a bad animal, but it did take from you. You can't say it's just an accident. As opposed to, if the animal didn't benefit anything, then you could say it's just an accident. So I still think you can say that. Now, you got the board. I apologize for writing the board the third time. I just realized that I think the even clearer way to put this on the board, if you'll forgive me, I hope everyone got this board down, who wanted to, is very simple. What's a chumra and what is a kula? Very simple. Kavanaso lahazik and yesh hana lehezeka. In the maskana of the Gemara, kavanas lahazik is a chumra, and yesh hana lehezeka is a chumra. We'll see if this works. In the havamina of the Gemara, kavanas lahazik is a kula, and yesh hana lehezeka is a kula. Right? Because in kavanas lahazik is a chumra. What's the svara of the havamina? What's the svara of the havamina? So one way of svara of the havamina is the is the riven. Why is kavanas lahazik a kula? It's a kula because ein hana lezeka. It's a kula because ein kavanaso lahazik. And what changes in the so one derech is the Ravid. And according to the Ravid, what changes Lamaskana? Nothing. Nothing substantive. Right? Lamaskana also ain't hanol ezek is a kula. Just don't call it kavanos lahazik. Call it ain't hanol ezek. Lamaskana also ain't kavanos lahazik is kula. But don't call it yesh hanol ezek. Call it ain't kavanos lahazik. For Tosfos, no. Kavanos lahazik is a kula because it's hard to restrain, so there's less pshia. It's a kula because it's hard to restrain, so there's less pshia. So then, what changed? Let me write this a little better. What for the Ravid, what is the Maskana? Lefi Ravid? It's a Chumrah because Kavanas Lahazik. It's a Chumrah because Yeshana Lezeka. Okay. For the Ravid, there's really no difference in the Havmina and the Maskana. The Havmina, Kavanas Lahazik, is Lahazik, the Kulik, the Inon Lezeka. The Maskana, it's a Chumrah because Kavanas Lahazik. Okay, really, it's true. Inon Lezeka is a Kula. Kavanas Lahazik is a Chumrah. For Tosos, what changed the Maskana? Maskana. Lefi Tosfos. One derech is the Mahari Katz. Is that, in the end, this is a Chumrah because you should have anticipated it. That's what he says. You should have anticipated it. So there's more Pshia. Chumrah because you should have anticipated it, so there's more Pshia. So the difference between the Havmina and the Maskana is, what's more Pshia, what's less Pshia, what's the essential difference? The what's the essential change? Look at Pshia Vishaito. Look at Pshia Lifnei King. Right, that's what changed. First we look at the Pshia of holding on to the leash, then we say, now let's look at the Pshia of the time. However, for Maskana Lefitosos, according to the Mahari and the Mahari Katz, with someone else, this is a Chumrah because the Maisa is more Chumrah if it's Kavanas Lahazik. And this is a Chumrah because the Maisa is more Chumrah if it's Yeshana Lazeka. And what's the essential change? To use his words, the essential change is from looking at Pshias Habaylim to looking at the Maisa Nezek of the Behema. That's what's changed, and what's changed is something very Lundish, perhaps the very Lundish Sakira underlying the first half of Bava Kamma. When we look at what's Chayav, what's Pachter, the Avra of Zizikin, do we care, is it the Bailim's Shia that's Machayav us, or is it the objective Maisa Nezek of the animal, and the animal's part of you, because it's Mamoncha that's Machayav you? Maybe that's what's changed from the Havmina to the Maskana. Okay, so that's just a summary way of seeing the, let's call it, three ways of reading the sugya, the Ravid's way of reading the sugya, who basically says the Maskana and the Havmina is not really different svaras than the Maskana. It's just the svaras are backwards in the wrong place. Tosa says there was really a totally different svar in the Havmina and the Maskana. Tosa doesn't bother to say what changed the Maskana. For that, we have to go to the Mari Kath and Shinu Gavetzis. Either what changes how we look at Pshia, which is based on when we look at Pshia, or what changes whether we care about Pshia or we care about the objective Maisa Nezek, which is a very fundamental lumpus. Okay, so that's the most fundamental part of this sugya.
You see from other Mazik that any Hazik is a Hazik, you mean, with regard to other, every Hazik is a Hazik, so now, when it comes to the Hema, we're going to differentiate in levels, or what do we care?
What do we care? Because, you mean according to this? Okay, so the answer might be, because since Adam, whatever he does might be, first of all, do we know at this point? Let's say we might know at this point, right? Let's say we know the drasha that Adam is Lord the Olam, Bein B'mezid, Bein B'shogeg, etc. already. So why do we care about an animal? So I think the answer would have to be that a mice of an Adam is more significant than a mice of an animal. Perhaps a mice, since an Adam is a bardas, then the mice of an Adam is always considered to be a mice aveira and a mice hezek. Because everything an Adam does, he really has das, even when he does something accidentally, even b'shogeg, b'ones, etc. Since he knew exactly what he was getting into and he knew exactly what he was doing at the time, maybe because Adam has das, his mice is considered more significant. Well, the mice of an animal is tricky. Like, sometimes things just happen. You know, it's an interesting question. Like, when did you do something? When did it just happen? So I think it's easy to say, in Adam, you always do things. Whatever Adam does, he did. It didn't just happen. But in Behemah doesn't have das. So can we really say that this is a mice and nezik of the Behemah? Can we really say the animal did something criminal here? After all, the Behemah doesn't have das, so maybe for Behemah, no, only if it was really trying to be mazik. Or maybe only if it was really trying to take advantage of something. To take for itself, we call that a mice hezek.
I mean, both of these cases are cases where the animal is doing something cognizant of what it's doing. It's not.
Correct, but maybe an Adam, even if he's not cognizant of what he's doing, we consider as bad as an animal that is cognizant. Because an Adam in general is das. Okay, but yesh lo zeh note. Let's just read on in the Gemara, finish up this Shaka V'Tarya, and see how far we can get. Before we get back to the Evgo Amma, let's just, maybe let's discuss the Evgo Amma briefly. We have here a Havamin Maskana about Eved Va'amma. What's the Havamina? The Havamin of Eved Va'amma is that it was working that it would support the Havamin of Rabbi Huda. Havanasal Hazak is a Kula. Eved Va'amma is Patr because Havanasal Hazak is a Kula. Kamashwa, no, that wasn't a Patur because Havanasal Hazak. That's Patur because of Taimar Rabba, because they might have this revenge plot against you. Okay? So that's the Eved Va'amma. Havamina is that Potter Mishum Kavanasa Lahazik. And the Maskana is Potter Mishum Shema Yakni Teno Rabo Vichuli. What's Tosa's problem? Tosa's problem is, how did we ever have this Havamina that wasn't because of Shemi Yakni Tenu Rabo? The Im Tomer, Viotasha, came in the Adoration of Seasons after Yadayim. The Mishnah Yadayim says that Eved Va'amma is Potter. So if we know that Eved Va'amma is Potter, then we know the safe of the Mishnah. It's one Mishnah Yadayim. One Mishnah in Yadayim says, what does the Mishnah Yadayim say? It actually is, what's it doing in Yadayim? Anyone?
Yeah,
why is this in Yadayim? Right, because in the end of the Sefer Yadayim, it has all the cases where the Tzedukin complained about Prushi Halacha, and why the Prushim were really, of course, correct. So it says, they say, Kovan Alecha Prushim. We complain, after all, your animal, you don't have to get to do mitzvos. Your Eved Va'amma, you have to do mitzvos, right? Eved Kanani is chayv in mitzvos, except for mitzvos Eishan Grama. So if you're chayv for your short damages, why aren't you chayv for your Eved damages? The answer is Shemi Tenu Rabba. So if they knew this Mishnah, how did they not know the Taimar Rabba of Shemi Yakin Tenu Rabba? What was the Havamina, is Tosa's question. Okay, which Rishon doesn't have to be bothered by Tosa's question at all? What Rashi? Why does Rashi not have to be bothered by Tosa's question? Because it's not the same Mishnah. Says Rashi, the Havamina is not a Mishnah Yadayim, but a Mishnah in Bava Kamma. What does the Mishnah say in Bava Kamma? Eved v'ha'isha v'yasan ra'a. If an Eved or a married woman damages you, that's bad for you. Why? Because the Eved and the married woman don't have their own money, and therefore, you don't get paid. Until the Eved gets free, then he owes you the money, or the woman gets divorced, then she'd have to pay you. But it's bad luck if you get hurt by an Eved or an Isha. So, the Havamina is the Mishnah Bava Kamma. The Mishnah Bava Kamma didn't say a reason, right? It just said, now, what's the implication? The main point of the Mishnah Bava Kamma is that the Eved doesn't have to pay till he gets freed. But obviously, if it's a very bad Pagia, then it's implied that Adon also doesn't have to pay. If the Adon had to pay, then it wouldn't be bad. Like, it wouldn't be any worse than anyone else. I'd get paid right away. Right? So, the Mishnah Bava Kamma says, Eved v'ishav yashan ra'a. And there's no reason specified. So we didn't know the reason. We thought it was a raya of kavanas lahazik. We didn't know the time of Rava. The maskana is the Mishnah in Yadayim, which says has the time of Rava. Okay. For Rashi, there's really no problem. The Havamina, we were only based off of Mishnah Bava Kamma. We didn't know the reason. The maskana, we knew the reason. For Tosfos, though, Tosfos argues on Rashi. He says even the Havmin is the Mishnah in Yadayim.
Right? Tosfos says even the Havmin is based on the Mishnah in Yadayim, and the Maskana is based on the Mishnah in Yadayim. And that's why Tosfos now is a problem.
If the Havmin is the Mishnah in Yadayim, the Maskana is the Mishnah in Yadayim, how come they didn't know the Maskana and the Havmin? What was their Havmin? What were they thinking? Why did Tosfos think it's the Mishnah in Yadayim and not the Mishnah in Bava Kamma that we're starting with?
Because the language is misleading.
Because the Mishnah in Bava Kamma says Eved Ve'isha. The Mishnah in Yadayim says Eved Ve'ama. Right? Since we say Eved Ve'ama, right? Then it must be we're working off the Mishnah in Yadayim. Oh, you brought Rashi. Say Rashi will say it's Lav Davka. That really they're working off the Mishnah in Kiddushin, but since we're not interested in a married woman here because the husband doesn't own his wife, so obviously he doesn't have to be for Nezikin. We only wanted to quote the Eved part of the Mishnah in Bava Kamma. And when we quote the Eved part of the Mishnah in Bava Kamma, basically, Rashi would say we wanted to quote the Mishnah in Bava Kamma, Eved Ve'isha. But the Isha part's not relevant. Only the Eved part's relevant because a married woman's not owned, and Eved is owned. So we want to say Eved Ve'isha, but we want to stick to Eved. So we substitute Amma for Isha. It's almost the same letters of Isha, and it makes our point. And coincidentally, it's the same Lashon as the Mishnah in Yadayim. Okay, that's what Rashi would say. Not so crazy. Tos says we knew the Mishnah in Yadayim all along, and therefore Tos just creates a technical problem. What was our Havmin if we knew the Mishnah in Yadayim, which said at the time of Rava, then why didn't we know it until the Maskana? And here, well, Tosfos gives an answer which no one knows what he means. Anyone know what Tosfos means? I don't know what Tosfos means. I mean, I know what all the pronouns say Tosfos means. All okay. Different things. But the Yesh Lomer is a shopper of a Yelda Maksha. Well, before we get to Tosfos, if you want a technical answer, the Rabbeinu Yonah, quoted in the Tosfos Rosh and the Shidu Gevetzes, gives two answers. His first answer is, says Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shitim Gevetzes and the Tosfos Rosh likes to quote Rabbeinu Yonah. His first answer is, we knew the time of Rava. What's the time of Rava? You're potter because Tikkun Olam, there's no way you can stop your Eved Va'ama from burning down someone's field to get revenge on you. Like, if we said you were chayav for any damage your slave did, every time he was annoyed at you, he would burn down someone's field and there's no way to stop him. So in the Havamina, we thought that it's equally hard to control an Eved bent on revenge and an angry ox. We thought, there's no way to stop an Eved bent on revenge. There's also no way to stop an angry ox. These are two equally, on the one hand, the Eved bent on revenge is das and is crafty. On the other hand, the angry ox, you ever try stopping an angry ox? They're very big and have sharp horns. We thought it was a good raya. Just like your potter for your Eved, because there's no way to stop him, your potter for the ox, because there's no way to stop him. Therefore, it supports the Havmina, that your potter for Gavin Asal Hazek, because there's no way to stop him. The Maskana, we change his mind? No. It's much harder. We say, it's hard to control an angry ox, but impossible to control a vengeful Eved. Okay, the Maskana we say, we knew the reason was because he might try to get revenge. We just thought an Eved trying to get revenge is as hard to control as an angry ox. So if you're potter for the Eved trying to get revenge, you should be potter for the angry ox, so it's a good hobby that Kavanos Lahazak should potter you. Kamashwala, no. An angry ox you can control with just a little strength. An Eved bent on revenge is no way to control. He has das. How can you control a bar das who wants to get revenge? No way to control. Okay. The second shot of Rabbeinu Yonah is that in the Havamina we thought that the reason in the Mishnah was fake news. Right? Meaning, it's actually interesting. In those Mishnahs in Yadayim, we're not going to get into it now, but there's a lot of things Dukim say to Prushim, we don't like your Prushi halacha. And the Prushim say, no, it makes perfect sense because of this. And some of those cases, that's not actually the real halachic reason. Just like a cute reason they gave to get rid of the Tzedukim, but it's not the real halachic logic. So, we thought the reason in the Mishnah was fake. Just lidchos es hatzedukin. Right? You're allowed to give not halakhically accurate reasons in order to just get rid of the tzedukim so they'll stop bothering you. So therefore, we knew there's a reason of time around. We didn't think they really meant that. And then Maskana, we say, no. The reason in the Mishnah is the real halachic reason. Okay, so at first we just didn't take the Mishnah seriously. We knew it, we didn't take it seriously. And in the end, we do. In the end, we do take it seriously. Like many of the reasons, right? The Tzedukim said, you Prushim are stupid, because the works of Homer are Tahor, but a Sefer Torah is Betami Yodayim. How could the Sefer Torah be impure and Homer be pure? So they said, don't you know? The more beloved something is, the more Tamei it is. After all, if your donkey dies, the bones aren't Tamei, but if your father dies, the bones are Tamei. Okay, but that's not the real halachic reason. The real halachic reason was they made Gzera D'Rabbanan that Sefer Torah is Matame the Adayim, so that you wouldn't keep it together with Truma, so that the mice who came to eat the Truma wouldn't eat a hole in the Sefer Torah. But the works of Homer, we don't care if the mice eat a hole in it. So the real halachic reason is one thing, and they said a different reason in Adayim. Okay, some of the things in Adayim were just that Tzedukim wouldn't be Mekabel or halachic logic, so we just gave them something that sounds good. So the happy is that it sounds good, the Mishnah is not. Tosos itself says something very different. We're not sure what Tosos means. All the Achronim go to town trying to figure out what Tosos means. What does Tosos mean? The answer is, I don't know, we're really not sure. Like, sometimes all the Achronim go to town, but one pshat you think is clearly more pashut. They said something to do with sometimes they'll pretend it was without Kavanah and it'll really be with Kavanah. Mm-hmm. We're just not sure. Exactly what it means. Not sure what Tosus means. I guess we'll just put one shot in the Tosus according to the Maharam and the Pnei Yoshua, maybe. Or Tosus according to Gilyon. The Tosus, let's say, Lefi, Maharam, and the Pnei Yoshua. At first they thought that the reason... The Taima Rabba, the reason in the Mishnah. Here, I'll oversimplify. At first, well, the reason in the Mishnah. Is that the reason in the Mishnah was Midoraisa. So, Kavana Lahazik is a kula midoraisa. Okay. And in the end, we decide that the reason in the Mishnah is only a takana midrabanan, and if it's only takana midrabanan, so it's not relevant to the loharays, because the loharays are what should be written in the Torah. So it's not relevant to the sugya of Lo haray. Okay, so basically we first thought it was Doraisa p'tor, Kavanas lahazik p'tor midoraisa, and then we say, no, that's only p'tor midrabanan. Okay, it's more complicated than that, but maybe we'll leave it at that. That's what the Maharam and the Pnei Yoshua say. Okay, in any case, the Maskana, we view it as not relevant for one of these reasons. Okay, I had a few more minutes that I wanted to just finish up in the sugya. But maybe we'll leave that for next time. We'll go on, Amir Tzashem, in the next year we'll continue on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, to the top of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, to the top of Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, Amir Tzashem. I'll send that Makoros later. Kasky, you'll get the board.
I'm scanning.
Okay. Shall I say, probably in the beginning, maybe.